Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda. Thanks for listening.
Oh, we got something for you right before the weekend. Turns out the weekend is coming up. It wasn't yesterday. But anyway, let me tell you about today's guest. The movie American Mayor, where he ran for mayor in 2007 in Bexley, New York, is available on Amazon. Free, of course, if you have Amazon Prime. And I know you're like, no, finally. The story of the mayor race in Bexley, Ohio. What exactly did go down in 2007? Well, we'll get to it. Don't you worry. First, I want to mention this. I saw this on our very own forums. Please email me, says Chemda. Chemda at katg.com.
That's me.
I want to give you KATG goodies, she says.
I really do.
VIP bucks, stickers, shirts, etc.
For free.
I want to bring Keith and the Girl shows to your area. I want to meet you at Keith and the Girl camp. I want to grow this community even more.
Boy, I'm really needy. I want.
You were there when I had a tumor, when my nephews were born, when Keith recently declared sobriety and signed his divorce papers. I love this collective of people. When the Keith and the Girl community get together, the results have been babies being born, people getting married, gigantic laughter, love, and support. Tell me what it will take to help you spread the word. I want to give out stickers on your college campus. I'll send you free stickers. Want to wear our shirt in your social media profile pic? I'll send you a shirt. She doesn't give a fuck. Want to write about our show on your blog? I'll give you access to VIP so you get all the episodes. Let me know your ideas and let's try them. Email me, Chemda at KTG.com. Here's the catch, though. I will not tell you how to spell her name. She's given away way too much.
That was our compromise. I'm like, Keith, I really want to give away a bunch of stuff. And he's like, as long as we don't have to spell your name and they have to figure it out, that'll like level everything off. Chemda at keithandthegirl.com. I believe in you. You could do it.
All this free stuff. You got to do a little work. That's all. Travis Irvine is today's guest. He's a contributor to Viceland, The Guardian, and the documentary American Mayor was featured at the Cannes Film Festival. That's a big deal. People's Court. He wasn't the judge, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Travis Irvine, how you doing?
It's great to be here, guys. Thanks so much for having me. Longtime caller, first time listener.
Well, Travis lives in two places. He lives here in New York City, has an apartment, and he said he has a home base in Ohio.
That's true.
I have a home base in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's fun. It's good to keep that around.
That right. Home base is your parents'
house. It's the parents' house.
Okay, just making sure, because think, you know what? You guys should really be grateful. My home base is not talking to me right now. So it is a thing. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Where would home base be?
Currently Israel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The motherland is not talking to me.
Oh no.
The whole place.
Did you do the birthright trip?
No, I was born there. So I guess I did
so
do,
you
the
did
birthright.
Do the birthright trip. Okay. You were born into it.
And realized it wasn't for her.
Right. You know what? Honestly, I did realize because I moved here when I was 4 and my mother always said I was sick until I got here. So that's something.
Wow. Yeah. Mazel tov.
Birthright.
Yeah.
Now to go back to your home base, you take a bus or you fly?
I take a overnight Chinatown bus.
Chinatown. Now these Chinatown buses. These aren't your fancy Greyhound buses, are they?
No.
They
oh no.
They make, without exaggeration, I'm not being silly.
Yeah.
They make drug runs on the way.
Well, I mean, we don't know what they're picking up.
Okay.
They're picking up something.
But it's not people with tickets.
It is not people with tickets. That is, unless they put people in boxes and put them under the bus.
Which we're not putting past them.
Which we don't know. Yeah. It could be organs. I really don't know.
So you're on a highway.
Yeah, we're driving down the highway really fast. They drive very fast. And it's a 9-hour trip from New York to Columbus. And I got to tell you, Chinatown in Columbus is a building. And that's it. So that's where we go. And we'll just pull off on random exits and pull into random parking lots. And there'll be like a car there and it'll flash its lights. And then the bus will flash its lights. And then all the lights go off. We pull up next to the car. They load some boxes under the bus. And then we keep going.
That cannot be true.
That's happened to me multiple times. And you keep your mouth shut if you want to wake up in Columbus, Ohio. That's the rule.
Does it ever make you nervous?
No, because I don't.
You're just a passenger.
I'm just a, I'm just, get me to Columbus, please.
He literally just put his hands up. He was like,
I won't ask any. Hey, I don't know how to say, I won't say anything in Chinese. But
And they don't pat you down or anything. They just take you on like a regular customer.
Oh, Lord, no. That's actually good because I'm running drugs myself.
Right.
And organs and stuff.
Who are you to judge, right?
Yeah. One time we hit a deer too, which I loved. Because we hit the deer and we pulled over and there was a bunch of yelling in Chinese and then they got back on and we kept going. Right.
I noticed during this movie, Running for Mayor.
Yeah.
You're how old at the time?
I was 24 years old.
You're 34 now.
Yeah. This was 10 years ago. Yes.
And
I would not guess that you were 34.
Thank you.
Wow.
I'll take it.
Yeah. You're such a piece of... No.
Right.
You don't talk about your drug platform in this movie. Am I right?
Well, no, because Mayor Bexley, you don't really have any control over that. I think my stance on drug laws developed since then, though. That's for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
You love them.
I love them all. Gimme, right. Gimme. I come from the libertarian and progressive stance. It's one of the only things that Bernie Sanders and Gary Johnson agree on is legalize marijuana, reform drug laws. Decriminalize, certainly. Treatment over, you know, putting people in prison.
How young when you first started smoking?
Oh, good Lord. 16.
Okay, but
I only tried it once.
If you're asking why I ask, I see this movie, and every scene they're smoking it. Did you notice that?
What? Which, American Mayor?
Kidding. Isn't that funny, though?
Yeah, I got to see this movie again. Maybe you were smoking and you were blowing it in front of the screen.
I like you didn't know which movie it was you did. Which documentary I put together?
Yeah, which? I don't know. I've made so many.
I don't think it was in the Mayor one.
Yeah. Now, you did notice I had dreadlocks, though, in the movie.
Yes.
And that was because I just graduated from Ohio University, and then I went and worked in the Bahamas for a year. And that's where the dreadlocks came from.
Now, did you twist your hair up to become dreads?
I had someone do it in the Bahamas, mm-hmm. a professional dreadlocker person. Yeah. But either way, dreadlocks on a white person, I think we can all agree, is offensive to all races, especially white guys.
I'll vote for that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
And you did cut it to be mayor, to be taken
to
seriously.
To be more serious.
Did you tell people that you were a comedian? In the movie, we see you doing stand-up and explaining to the people that can take a joke that you are running for mayor, whether you're doing it serious or not. But for the people you're running to mayor, you don't let them know you're a comedian, right?
No. And I will say, I mean, I did comedy and like sketch comedy in college. But at that point, 10 years ago, I was just starting stand up. So okay. I don't think I would have called myself a comedian then.
Well, your friends and family are, you know,
they all
on
knew.
Your board.
Yeah, yeah.
Did they take you seriously?
Well, not at first. That's the thing. You know, dreadlocks. We had a very jokey platform. I was pro squirrel, right? I was
squirrel was running.
Well, not really. That was a joke we added later.
Okay.
But
I believed it because you hear about this sometimes, like a dog runs
yeah.
and
yeah, or a cat. There's a cat mayor in Alaska.
See?
Yeah, who's been there. No, I wish we had a squirrel running, but
okay.
There's just a lot of squirrels in my hometown. And there's not much for the cops to do except make sure the squirrels are okay.
Now, I do want to talk more about it, but why does it take, as exciting as Bexley, Ohio is,
yes.
You know, God love them, what takes 7 years to find out this story of a punk running for mayor?
Oh, Lord. There is a story that has brought us to this point. I mean, it took us, the race was in 2007. We were in post-production for 2 years because I moved from Ohio to D.C. and then D.C. to New York.
Okay.
And then we finished a long version of the movie, and it was very boring, and no one liked it. We sent it to festivals, got nothing.
What I saw is
bless you for understanding that.
Okay. Yeah. And it was an 80-minute movie, and then we realized it wasn't going anywhere, so I brought in a buddy. He used to be my film TA at Ohio University, and he helped us chop it down to a 40-minute movie, which is Academy standards for a short film. And after
that, we all agree all movies should be 40 minutes.
Yeah, I
in
think
and out.
So.
Yes.
Yeah, the story just got so much better. We left the funny parts. I mean, we lost a lot of funny stuff too, but you know, nothing that important. And that's when we got into Cannes Film Festival. It's right. Short Film Corner, so it's not the official festival, but
how much does that cost?
For us to fly there or
do you have
just the fee? The filing fee was like 35 Can dollars. What are France dollars again? Euros. That's
okay.
What it was. Yeah. And then we flew there and we had a screening there and it was really cool because we packed it out. And
how much does a flight cost?
I don't remember.
Did home base cover that?
No, they did not. Okay. I did have enough. I think it was like 300 something round trip, honestly.
Not bad.
New York. Yeah, not bad. And then we got into a Palm Springs film festival and a docu-fest in Atlanta, and it was it got attention. And then we signed a deal with a company called Indie Media Entertainment.
Is it a distribution company?
They're a distribution mm-hmm. company out of Irvine, California.
And that's your name.
And I was like, that's a sign. These right. people will give us so much money. And then that's not what happened.
Did you look at the contract? And I'm being serious.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
We read it.
Did you read the whole thing?
We read the whole thing.
And what were they promising you?
50-50 net profits.
Okay.
And they were going to put it online on their website and also Amazon or just any fourth party distribution.
But any site. Money that they spent would have to be recouped first and yeah. then you 50-50 the
And
rest.
Usually that's fine. You yeah. know, you audit them and you just see numbers and you know, you find out how much you made. Well, Indie Media Entertainment, they were responsive maybe for the first year. You know, just responding by responsive, I mean responding to emails saying, hey, how's the movie doing? They're like, it's doing well. Talk to you later. And then they just, we never heard from them again. So, the movie was on Amazon for 4 years. We don't know how many people saw it, bought it, anything.
Were you promoting it while it was on for 4 years?
Oh, yeah. Because we were as excited as we are now about it being out there. But you know, just all the money went to them. And then, 2014 came around and then the deal was up, contract was over. So we started to get our nuts and balls together to be like, all right, how do we get this movie back out there? And Amazon, the technology has improved to the point where, you know, if you're a production company, you go through an approval process and then they'll let you basically have the movie on there and then it goes back to your production company, all the money in theory. But it's not a lot of money, I'm finding out. I got to read more contracts before I just put my stuff out there.
What did you think it was going to be and then what does it look like?
For Amazon?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, honestly, just the more, you know, the more I do things like this, you know, the more people will watch it. But I get like a report of how many minutes it's actually watched per day.
So you're getting the money now?
We've got $12.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, does it matter how many minutes somebody watches it?
Yeah, because that comes out of their Prime account or something. So, it, you know, any minute streamed counts towards.
So do you get like a penny per 10 minutes?
Something
of thing?
Like that.
Do you hear that, guys? Just stream it. Like yeah, if just, you get bored, just
yeah, if
put
you're on a
mute.
Prime, just let it loop.
Right. Try not to think about the electricity cost and just play yeah. this over and
over. Over and over. You're helping me out. I need new dreadlocks.
Why were you in? Because so how did you end up getting control of it after all?
With Amazon or
yeah.
just because the contract was over. We do have a lawyer buddy back in Bexley, Ohio. Who
for back pay.
Well, we did, you know what? He was actually very expensive. What, $250 an hour? Yeah, it was.
Wow.
We have not made the money back yet on any of this.
That's a normal, pretty low
pretty good.
Amount for a lawyer. That's yeah. that's your average. Yeah.
Yeah, but come on. How many hours?
I just like that
he did 1 hour. He did it all in 1 hour. He's a buddy.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So so he did a cease and desist letter to the old Indie Media Entertainment, which I assume they did not get because he also did the research for us. He found out that they are defunct. They are no longer allowed to operate in the state of California because they did not pay taxes, which makes sense because they never paid us. So
how upsetting is this? Because this was when if it comes out timely. That yeah. could be your big break. You could have been mayor of, you lose, but yeah. you could have been mayor of anywhere.
Anywhere, yeah. Irvine, California. I would have done it.
Right.
That sounds great. But I think it's actually good that it's coming out now because 2016, all these millennials, their interest in politics has been peaked. Everyone's pissed, right? So I'm trying to start this whole, like, just get more millennials to run for office. That's kind of what I want to do now.
Your agenda was that big banks were coming in. And trying to buy up land.
Yeah.
And your parents were on this property.
Well, it was the local university, Capital University, was colluding with City Hall. And they were buying up homes. And then they would rezone them, thanks to City Hall. And then they'd knock down the homes and build up dorms. So that's what it was. But banks were also an issue because they were there's just nothing to do on Main Street. For whatever reason, the geniuses in City Hall in 2007 thought that all they could do is just, well, let's put banks on Main Street, and there's just nothing
meaning
to
what?
Do
meaning,
in town.
Meaning the only construction they're allowing is the building of banks? How are they responsible?
Just like, well, you know, they essentially, we had a director of development for the city who would work with city council and the mayor, and it was just, they weren't bringing any like fun businesses, like restaurants or, you know, bars, things for people to go do at night.
Well, what are the kids supposed to do?
Exactly.
You know what
that
I mean?
That was my point.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got nothing.
That's what they would say in my hometown. They're like, what are we supposed to do?
What are we supposed to do?
Other than the bowling alley and the movie theater and the swimming pool.
You had a bowling alley?
We had everything.
Oh, man, you are lucky.
Kids are bored no matter what.
Yeah.
That's what I would say as your opponent.
Yeah.
I'm like, hello, they're kids. Nothing's good enough.
Well, you grew up there.
I grew up there, yeah.
Were you really bored? Did you really have nothing to do as a kid?
Oh, no. I mean, we always had stuff
meth.
To do. No, not meth, no. No, that was not a thing in our town yet. I don't think.
No.
That came around later. Honestly, there's an opioid crisis in Ohio now. It's like the second highest death state for opioids right now. It's real bad. But we didn't have that then. We were all good kids.
How did you spend time?
Walk around, picking up sticks and stuff, you know, just hanging out, having a great time.
You see this kid picking up sticks, and one day he's going to be my mayor.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope I remember him.
Yeah.
Walking around, picking up sticks, what is that, code for coke? What the fuck?
No. Stop right. it. How are you guys skipping right to hard drugs? We were smoking pot. That's what we did.
No, I seen you in this movie. It's just pot. I believe you.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
So he puts out a jingle called A New Face, and Jay Leno... At the time.
Is this for the mayor campaign?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is actually, we put this out in 2007. Jay Leno didn't pick it up till 2 years later.
Okay.
October 2009.
Sometimes the good things take time to circulate.
Yeah.
So it comes across his desk and he goes, I'm going to put it in my segment called Stupid People. Right?
No, that's David Letterman.
Okay.
This one was called Elected or Not Elected.
Okay.
And I got to say it was on the Jay Leno show, the primetime show, not the Tonight Show.
Right.
It was the poopy one that no one liked.
When he came back and said, you know what, I still want to work after all.
Yeah. And then, yeah. And then he stole Conan's thunder and then he just stole Conan's job back.
Right.
That's like,
so he uses you to laugh at this jingle. Okay.
Yes.
Then and I'll play you the jingle.
And he didn't ask permission. You didn't know it was going
to
be on.
You put it on YouTube, they're allowed to just find it and take it. So, I was October 2009. I was helping my aunt and my uncle clean out my grandfather's house.
Oh my God. You're so nice.
Cause he had just passed away. I was literally sleeping in the bed that my granddaddy died in. And I went to bed early that night, and about 11 p.m., my phone starts to go crazy. So everyone's like, you were just on Jay Leno. And I was like, Granddaddy, what do you want from me? I thought he was like messing with me. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, Jay Leno put it on there.
So Jay Leno puts it on there, and then NBC has the, you know, YouTube scouring robots that can make sure nobody's stealing their content. And the robots go, yeah, you. This was stolen from the Jay Leno show. People, you can't have it up. So now he can't put it on his own jingle gets taken off, and he can't have it on YouTube because it became property of Jay Leno.
Mm-hmm.
But here it is. I got it. Don't you worry.
Record player sound quality.
It's a new face for a special place. Let's get Bexley marching to a faster pace where no one will fail. Every woman and male can send off their kids to Harvard or Yale. It's a new face for a special place. You won't see your tax dollars go to waste. You'll have places to shop.
Now it's black and white, and when he was talking about saving money, he picked money out of the garbage. So this is how your mayor's, he's going to go to all the trash cans.
I'm going to pick all that money. Quit throwing all that money away, people.
It is a silly town.
A new home for the cops. You'll approach stop signs without having to stop.
You don't even have to stop at stop signs, is this pothead's platform.
You saw I put a sign that says go on top of a stop sign.
Legally, do you have to take that sign that says go off when you're done with
the
video?
Yeah, right after the video, yes.
Because you weren't hired yet.
No.
Right.
A new face for a special place. Put a bouquet of flowers back into your vase. We'll work as a team to make Bexley more green. Saving lots of money while we keep the earth clean.
A lot of money talk. I like it.
You got to save money.
Yeah. Saving money. In fact, wasn't one of your platforms that you would give yourself a $30,000 pay cut?
Yes.
Because you claim to be able to live on 60 grand instead of 90.
As a 24-year-old, I'm sure I could do it.
Living in home base, of course.
Yeah, live with the parents. Yeah.
And then as it wasn't looking good for his campaign, he went, 60,000 less?
It's a new face for a special place. Your home will be dressed up with satin and lace.
Oh.
Your kids will have fun while they play in the sun, and you can have a cocktail when the work day is done.
Okay, now and you allow cocktails, that's good. When your work is done.
Yeah, when your work's done.
And your friends, they tell you this is good.
What, the jingle?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we loved it. We all sang it.
Are you surprised that it was on Jay Leno? Like, what would he, I didn't know he endorsed politicians.
No, yeah, well, the segment, I don't know if it was an endorsement per se, but he played, five kind of like quirky, goofy local campaign commercials, and we were one of them. And I will say,
we have his quote,
yeah,
right?
His quote, before he intro'd the video, he said, here's a video from a guy. He said, I got to do Jay Leno. Should probably stick to politics and not writing jingles. Everybody, take a look.
Right, and they loved it.
And the crowd loved it, and then Jay Leno had to change his tune. He was like, I love that song. I love it. What do you think, people elected or not elected? And then everyone's like, elected. And then it's like, not elected. So that was it. That was my TV debut.
I could see why he wanted to use it. That's a pretty funny bit. You just told it, we laughed.
Yeah.
Unless he fucked it up. That was amazing.
People don't understand how that voting matters. And where it matters is at the local level, isn't it?
That's where it all starts.
When you can make your changes. The small towns matter. Everybody jumps on board once every 4 years, like it's the Olympics. But there's little things, and you know that.
Yeah.
For example, the New York primaries just happened, right?
Yes.
Were you part of that? What time did you show up?
Well, I still vote in Ohio, but I am running a campaign here in New York City.
Okay, and even though you're not a registered voter in New York.
Right, you can work on a campaign anywhere.
And, oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. As long as, I mean, and I think it would be, it's better that I'd still vote in Ohio. I think, you know, the vote matters more there. It's a swing state.
Okay.
It's the swingiest of all the states.
Right. Why not run there, though?
Well, I quite possibly could run there again.
You can run many places. You don't mind.
Yeah, but I am just running a campaign here. My roommate, Ben Kissel, he's running for Brooklyn Borough President.
So you're running his campaign?
I'm running, I'm the campaign manager.
Now, he's running for Brooklyn Borough President.
Yes.
Now, do you look at him as a roommate and think, what a pussy? I ran for mayor. And, okay, I didn't get that. Then I ran for Congress.
Yeah, I did do that.
And what's this guy doing? He's going to clean up a park?
Well, Brooklyn Borough President does not do much. That's what we've learned. You make speeches.
Okay.
You have some say in, like, land use within Brooklyn.
Right. He has a big head. That's good for politics. It's physically large.
He's very tall.
Large.
Ben is a very tall man. And, like, he's great going, like, walking around and going door to door because people are just immediately, like, enamored with tall people.
Right.
Like, most of our most successful presidents have been tall.
That's true.
Yeah.
And killed.
And then murdered.
Does he ask?
They're easy targets.
Does he ask you for advice or does he ask you for not advice?
Both. We go with both.
Okay.
We go with both.
So you lose mayor, you run for Congress. Why not? Why not go higher, right?
Yeah. Get higher.
Right.
Go higher. Yes.
Next thing you know, you're running for president when you lost everything else.
Well, I'm not 35 yet.
Okay. You have to be 35.
You
got to
be 35 for that one. Yeah.
Okay.
You got to be 25 for Congress, 30 for Senate, 35 for president.
My question is, I don't know if you were political before you started this, but it seems like you weren't, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was always interested in politics as a kid. I ran for sixth grade vice president. I did win that one. I beat Angie Cottrell. Take that, Angie.
What was your platform? Soda machine?
Make the teachers do homework. I think that
see how they like it.
You think the teachers don't have homework grading your stupid papers?
Yeah, I had no idea how it worked, but it got me elected, baby. And then I ran for class secretary sophomore year, junior year. Beat Becca Kerner. Take that, Becca.
Right.
And then I ran for class president senior year because you got to make the speech, and I lost that to Lizzie Schleicher.
Take that, Travis.
I know. I did. I did. I lost.
But that, you know what? It's kind of good because you were probably starting. You couldn't help but disrespecting women.
No.
You were like, man, I can't fail against a female.
Right. I guess if I just disrespected women more, I would have won.
Maybe.
If 2016 has taught me anything.
Then you could have said whatever you wanted to say.
Yeah.
Right.
On that bus with Billy Bush.
So what did you want, what was your platform for running for Congress? You'll forgive me if I missed it.
Okay.
And did you, and I don't mean to be obnoxious, when you were running for mayor, when you were running for Congress, did you sincerely have to look up what these people do? Because we know, we know like the concept of they're leading this, section of our world, right? We kind of know that, but the day-to-day, what are you responsible for? Did you look that up?
Certainly for the mayor. I mean, there's a point in the documentary where it's like, I have to take it seriously. And I go hang out with a family friend who was city auditor. And he explained to me how the taxes work and things like that. Like my hometown, Bexley, there's a lot of old rich people living in these mansions there. And the thing that saves the city every year is this estate tax, where if an old rich person dies, then the city gets a bunch of their money. So that was one of my platforms I was working on. I was like, I'll encourage old people to die in Bexley. So I did have to learn, certainly for the mayor. Congress is a little bit easier.
Wait, that was your platform?
Well, that was more of a joke of a platform.
Okay, because I was going to say,
that got slipped back in with like the pro squirrel stuff. Okay. And, but
because I think that I would love to talk about how to get people to stay in the same town so they can die there. Because I feel like you can do that, get better homes when they're, getting older and things like that.
Tax abatements for if you stay here forever.
Yeah.
Type deal, yeah.
So why is Congress easier? Because I agree that it is. I've seen Eddie Murphy. He was a congressman.
Yeah.
And he was just silly.
Yeah.
But then he realized you got to stand up for the right thing.
Yes.
So you see a lot of these movies. It doesn't seem very hard, though.
Congress is easier because there's 434 other people there. And essentially, you just got to represent your district. Most of the districts are gerrymandered now anyway. So, like my home district is now a solidly Democrat. But when I ran in 2010, it was still kind of a toss up. And like the Republican would only win by 5% or something like that.
Gerrymandering meaning they divide up the section so badly, if we can call it that, that it almost doesn't matter how you run because it's divided Republican and Democrat in such a way that the
other party can't even...
It doesn't have a chance.
Doesn't have close. Yeah. So that's technically, I mean, that's usually how it goes now. And so if you're...
Because you're told what to do and you just do it.
Yeah, and you just do it. And so that's why if you're a congressperson, you know, you can stand up for some things that you believe in. You know, if I were a congressman, I would fight for a better drug laws.
Mm-hmm. More.
Criminal justice reform. No, less. Okay. Much less. Yeah. We got to go with treatment. We have like 2.5 million people in jail just for marijuana in this country, and which still blows my mind.
What's going on?
Even after the laws changed.
In certain states, which those states are violating federal law. That's a whole thing that Jeff Sessions is going to try to, you know, Obama was actually pretty tough on the legal weed states. And Jeff Sessions wants to be even tougher. So that's something that's always possible.
Let me ask you what you think of this.
Okay.
I got a Rice Krispie edible.
Okay.
Giant, 500 milligrams.
Oh, wow.
Now, to me, that's funny you say, oh, wow.
Don't eat that all at once.
Okay, because I'm more into the 5 to 10 milligrams
thing.
I'm new to the business. And so I get this cut up in little pieces like I'm a baby. I took six of them over a couple hours. Nothing.
Nothing?
I took six of them all at once. Nothing. Last night, I took 10. Nothing. Should the person that put this together be arrested?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
Well, I just lost my husband.
Oh, no.
we'll talk about this after the show. Apparently, we made a bad deal with Keith.
Oh, no.
I think they took a block of Rice
Krispies. This is how he tells me on the show.
Oh, no.
I think they take a block of Rice Krispies and put marijuana spray on it.
Oh, really? Just so it like smelled like it?
That's what I think.
Like what Starbucks does with their coffee.
Where did you order this from? Colorado?
Well, I'm just willing to say I order it from her husband and then he has the connection. So I don't know who this Rice Krispie connection is.
Yeah.
But I'm not very pleased.
I know who it is. And you know what? He does a good job usually, but I think we owe you some edibles.
Maybe your tolerance is just really high.
It's
like,
so
did you
hot.
Eat a lot like that day? Because sometimes if there's other stuff in your stomach, it'll...
I did.
Is that really a thing?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. I had anti-weed medicine right before.
Oh, right. That's it.
2 years ago, I had orange juice and it could counteract.
That was it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like edibles?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
I get nervous about edibles because I feel like right now where we are with weed, it gives weed a bad name because that's when people call 911. Because
oh,
they don't know
if
how
they
to
do too much. Yeah.
Because the newbies don't know how to monitor. And I'm calling myself a newbie to edibles, even though I smoke every day. I still don't know how to, you know, kind of balance it.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I get too high now, knowing what I know, I'll just be like, well, I'm not calling 911. Everything's going to be fine in just, an hour?
Right.
You know, or 10 minutes or right now just because I know things are going to be fine. But we've read about, you know, the cops calling the cops on themselves because they think they're going to die.
The sheriff who like ate a whole weed cake by accident with his wife. And he
by accident with his wife.
Well, they didn't know it was a weed cake. So they ate the whole thing.
That's
and then
still
he's,
wrong.
Like the 911 call is hilarious. He's like, am I dead? Am I a dead person now? Can you guys come check on me?
And I just feel like smoking weed and eating that is so different.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, what gets in the
newspaper. At least you know how much you're taking when you smoke it.
Yeah,
just
or
like a bowl.
Yeah, or if you start smoking too much, you stop and like it goes away pretty quick, but you don't, you know, it's an hour later that you understand what your medicine is.
Yeah.
Keith, are you about to eat that edible right now?
Oh my God, it's a giant Rice Krispie. He's eating another piece. What's going to happen? Am I dead? Am I dead now? Call the cops. Yeah.
One time, I only had edibles a couple times. And the first time I had it, I wasn't smoking that much. And I think I ate two brownies. And yeah, that's the face you're supposed to make. Then I boarded a plane to Hawaii from New York that had a layover in LA. I was high the whole time. I was high after I got off the plane. I was high on the 3-hour layover when I talked to my brother. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck's happening. I threw up on the plane.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And it kept leveling up like a video game. Like, whoop, boop, boop. And I'm like, okay, this has to be the highest I'm going to go, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's
it.
This is good. Then it leveled up. Whoop. And I'm like, okay, we're good. I think like we can stop here now. And it's like, whoop. And I'm like, no, I don't think I'm going to be able to manage one more. Whoop. And then I'm so high. I take my hands, I put them on top of my head, and I'm like, please go down, please go down.
Push
like,
it down. Yeah. Push it down.
I want to get low.
It's so weird. You got to be careful. Like, I had a friend, he ate half of a cookie, and then he went to dinner with his girlfriend, and he passed out at dinner. Mm. And so he woke up, and the whole staff was surrounding him like, are you okay? Am I dead? Am I dead now? And he had to, like, make up a thing because the paramedics were there. He's like, oh, I must have choked on a thing and lost air or something like
and
that.
And then the medics were like, yep, checks out. See you later.
Like, okay, we're just paramedics. We don't know. Yeah, you got to be careful. You know, and this is one of the nice things about the legalization, right? When you put it in a regulated, taxed, making it an industry just like anything else.
Yeah, you can return that. Yeah,
you can return that thing. You take it back and be like, this was garbage. It didn't get me high. I was on tour last year with the Gary Johnson campaign, Liberty Tour 2016. And it was so nice. Like when we were in Denver or like Portland, like we had an early flight, and I would go in this dispensary in Portland, like an adult, and just be like, I need something to help me sleep on the plane. And they're like, here's a $5 chocolate that you will love. And I'm like, thank you. Here's my money. Good day. You know?
Yeah. And they could regulate more like this is what it's going to do for you. Even now, the dispensaries don't really have that access because it still is limited.
But everyone there is an expert. And so I went in looking for a certain thing and they knew exactly what to give me. And I'm not a criminal. I'm just a guy who wants to sleep on a plane and not have to push my head down because I overdid it. You know what I mean?
Andrea once took 3 brownies, was high for 2 days. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Oh, is this the 911 call?
I think I'm having an overdose at a store with my wife.
Oh, mean you and your wife?
Yes.
Overdose of what?
Marijuana. But I don't know if it had something in it.
Okay.
Can you please send rescue?
Okay, how old are you?
I'm 29 years old, and my wife is 26. Please come.
26?
Yes, please.
I don't know if it had something in it. You know it had something in it, or you wouldn't attribute it to a brownie.
Yeah.
No, I thought he meant it had something else other than weed, because he was saying I overdosed on marijuana.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you guys been drinking also?
What?
Have you guys been drinking today too?
No, that's it.
No, is there any weapons in the house?
No. Please come.
Okay, we're on our way.
Okay, would you like an anti-stone pill?
What
are they going
to
do?
To me, she sounds like, you have weapons? No. Did you take anything else? No. You can't overdose on marijuana.
Yeah.
Just hang up the phone.
Ugh. Well, I mean, he probably thought it had like PCP or something on it.
Right. That makes sense.
I will say this fentanyl stuff that's going around right now is no joke. This is another thing that's happening in Ohio is people get cocaine or weed laced with this fentanyl stuff, which is purely synthetic drug that's like made in India and China. And like just a little bit is what you need to get high, and if you overdo that, you will die. It's like insane. There's actually our governor, John Kasich. He had a 23-year-old aide who was doing cocaine. It was laced with fentanyl, and this kid OD'd at like 23 years old. And so, you know, now it's a crisis. It's like if the governor can't keep it out of his inner circle, how the hell are you going to keep it out of the state? You know? So it's as long as the guy wasn't on fentanyl. I mean, we would have known. I mean, there's cops, like they touch fentanyl, and they'll OD on it. It's like,
what?
I know. How is this stuff? And also, who's trying to kill their customers?
Right.
Like, surprise, it'll kill you.
Right. Because if you're getting weed, you don't want that crazy effect.
You do not want fentanyl.
The weed effect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So why would I be a returning customer if I feel crazy on your weed?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I don't know if it's highly addictive but it's taken out people in Ohio as well.
When wasn't cocaine enough?
You know? Yeah, right.
Right, right, yeah. Right. Andrea, you dying to say something right now?
Oh,
something
yeah,
going on?
Here.
Come on in here.
She's on. She just had 5 brownies.
One with fentanyl, and we have to guess which one.
Right. I was at a music festival last summer, and fentanyl is a big problem in Canada, too, because it's coming from Asia.
Oh, she's
it's coming from India, China.
Yeah, and Vancouver is a port city, so it all comes in through there. And the reason why it's so dangerous is because it's being manufactured in these like really shady factories.
Yeah.
And it's super potent, like you said, but they're not monitoring how much goes in capsule to capsule. So one capsule will have enough to get you crazy high, and it's amazing, and then there'll be like another capsule that has way more.
What are these capsules of? What are they supposed to be?
I don't know what's in
it's fentanyl?
Yeah. I don't know what the chemical breakdown is, but it's like a super potent drug, and it's shadily made in these like really fucked up factories. So they're not checking like Does each one have the right amount in there to safely take? So most of it will be fine. And then you'll get like a batch that has lethal ones. You take it and it kills you like almost instantaneously.
It sounds like a worse version than what was happening with ecstasy a long time ago.
It's the same situation. Right? Okay. Yeah.
And this is the thing about when you leave the drug market unregulated, you make it illegal. It's a black market industry. And so it's just completely unregulated and even less safe than it could be.
Yeah. It's also super cheap to make and people love it. Mm. So that's why it's being like pumped so quickly. They're trying to make it so quickly to keep up with the demand so they can make all the money. The festival that I was at, actually, they purchased like a crazy expensive machine that you can test your drugs with because they didn't want people to die.
Shut your face in the festival. Is this the one where you got ambushed and tackled while you were peeing in public?
No.
No, it's a different one?
No, that was in New York. This was in Canada.
Okay.
Where we're responsible about drugs.
That's actually really nice. You can test any drug on that machine?
Yeah.
That's really great.
It's specifically more, they made it for that particular drug because it's such a problem. And the people.
That's so good and bad at the same time.
Well, the people that run that festival know, like they have, someone died when I was there. I'm not sure what it was, but people do die at that festival because it's like, it's not an alcohol festival. There's no alcohol. Everyone there is on drugs. So they're making so much money. They're like, we would rather buy this machine to reduce. They had like medics going around. I saw a guy who was standing and like staring and medics like putting lights in his eyes being like, do you know who you are? And he was like, no. Mm. Oh, I'm sure he was on like ketamine or something like that.
You're not even guessing.
Some sort of disassociative. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe I could have, if I was there by the drug tester, I could have taken these Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah. And they would have been like, you're just eating candy,
you're just
sir.
Eating candy. It's a cereal.
Your friends think you're a pussy. is what that means.
How many did you just eat? Because we're going to be around each other for the next hour. So I'm going to be happy about this.
Well, I'm going to that baseball game tonight.
Okay. Oh, which one?
It's a Mets game. Josh can't make it. So I'm going with Adam, who's into it. And so maybe these will make things more exciting, but not the way my research has been going.
Mm.
So I have three right now. We'll go on 14 right now.
Oh boy.
I have some marijuana. And if that it's doesn't work,
such
you
balls
can,
yeah. that you're doing this.
I love it. I love it.
They're just so tiny.
Break through the fear, Keith. Do it.
Yeah.
You're going to go to the other side.
I'm going to think I'm the baseball. Uh-huh. Stop hitting me. I'm in the 15th row.
You see your head as the ball.
Talk about home base. Right.
Yeah.
Well, Andrea, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Andrea.
Let me ask you this. You see, of course, about football games and people taking the knee, saying, hey, look, I'm not going to support the national anthem while this country's flag should be upside down. What do we think about that? Being a runner for, what do you call it? A candidate for mayor and Congress. What would you say?
I mean, it's a football fan. I mean, I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, so
they disrespect your team at some point?
Well, I don't follow that, but
they've disrespected the game of football for years. They're just so bad.
You have enough problems. Do you think the main problem is that when you look at who's going to be playing, for example, you go to ESPN or CBS, the app, and you see all the different logos.
Yeah.
And the Browns don't have one because what would you have? A spot of brown? You have to use the helmet.
I think they have a dog. I think it's like a dog. Their mascot's a dog.
No.
And he wears a football helmet.
It's just brown.
Okay.
It's just brown. Maybe you guys have a silly mascot or something.
They do.
Runs around.
He's a dog.
Yeah, that's goofy. So stop that.
Hey.
Well, there's many things to stop. You can make jokes, but you can also look at your team and realize it's goddamn ridiculous.
Yeah.
Get a fucking, something pretty like everybody else has. A dolphin, a rainbow, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Not brown. It's the ugliest fucking color. Yeah. In fact, you guys even know it. You make it orange, but you still call yourselves brown. The whole thing's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So work on that.
Okay.
As that going on, that doesn't mean give up,
right?
Okay, start playing like who gives a shit,
because
you already know how horrible you are.
Yeah, right? They're very bad,
right? And this season is even worse than that.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why on fourth down do you punt it?
That's the Browns, baby.
Onside kick it.
They don't know how to do that.
You don't know how to do anything.
They don't know. Yeah.
Every play, go for it. Go for a Hail Mary at minute one.
Yeah.
Who cares?
I know.
You're horrible.
We're always bad.
It's a joke. It's a slap in the face every week saying, fuck you.
Yeah.
Go out there and just get goofy.
Yeah. I'm on board. I've written and all the sports commentary comment section. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm all about.
Right.
I just say, just go for anything, Browns. Just try to win the game. But they're so good at losing at the last minute.
How deep are you into this team?
Oh, not deep. I mean, if you get too deep, you'll be depressed forever. I mean, that's just it. So
that's usually, the warning.
Yeah. All my friends are Brown fans. So I just, you know, I watch them. I see their Facebook feeds and I'm just like, oh, good. They lost again. And I didn't have to bother watching it. Now and then I'll watch and then the Browns will win. And then my friends think I'm like a lucky whatever.
See, you come in and they do the coin flip, right?
Yeah.
So try to bring your own coin, double-sided, right? And what? They catch you, you get what? A penalty? Who cares?
It doesn't matter. It's the Browns. Yeah, you just lose the game.
Start in another town. You get pushed so far back. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
You're going to lose. Have fun.
Every Browns game I've been to, it was very fun to hang out at.
Try a game where you don't wear padding. Maybe it slows you down.
I love it.
Who knows?
I love it. I love it all.
Yes. My goodness.
Go Browns.
Sneak your own football in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I have it. And the cameraman's embarrassed and goes, oh, I guess it's over here now.
Yeah, right.
I mean, try it. You get caught, you get caught.
Use a baseball.
Doesn't matter. Everybody's cheating nowadays.
Oh, yeah. Of course. I wish we were had a Tom Brady on our team. Right. You know?
But seriously, as well.
Yeah.
What do we feel about people not respecting the great national anthem?
Oh, no. I think no. People have put the flag before the Constitution, and that is wrong. That we are a country of rights and principles, and everyone has a right to peacefully protest and no matter how they want to.
And you can't get more peaceful than
just kneeling,
locking arms, or kneeling or sitting.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you might be even some. I think some of these guys are praying. You know? Maybe they're having some alone time. Stay in the locker room for as long as you want. I mean, with the Browns, just stay in there the whole game. What the hell does it matter? Yeah, what if we won? Oh, God, that'd be so great. Yeah, no, I'm all for everyone. You know, but what is insane to me right now is that Donald Trump has once again diverted everyone's attention from all this major shit that's happening.
Do you think that's what it is?
He's so good at it. That's what he did the whole campaign. And that's what he's done since becoming president,
Are we giving him too much credit, or does he strategically do
that? No, I think he's a master at it.
Really?
I think he's a master diverter.
He knows that we will no longer care about money going to Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Or a war with Russia. Or a war with
North Korea.
Northern Iran.
Because I keep thinking that's what he cares about, or that's what he can speak on, and that's how he's responding to it. He is one of us. So if you go, hey, Trump, they said this about you. Well, fuck Puerto Rico. I really have to deal with this. I don't think he's strategically doing it. I think it's in his personality to divert attention to go, wait, what about this? What I want to talk about, this dumb thing.
Yeah.
You don't think it's more?
I don't know. I think we've always underestimated the guy. Remember when he first announced, it was like, I mean, Jon Stewart was like, this is going to be silly, right? And then look, he won the primary, he won the nomination. And then when it was in the general election, it was like, he'll never win. Hillary's got it wrapped up. And then he won. And now he's president. And it's just like, I think.
And you don't think he was surprised? You think strategically he.
Oh, I do think he was surprised. You could tell on election night when he made that speech. I think he was surprised.
I think so too.
Somewhat
and I think
surprised,
a couple days later, he was like, fuck this.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. Well, no, but even when he announced, he was like, he had the speech with Melania. He was like, Melania told me that, you know, if you run, you're going to win. So I think he did kind of know. You know, he's a win at all cost type of guy. That's been his whole thing, his whole life. So, you know, especially coming from like from the journalism angle, you know, I was working at the Guardian and Vice when Trump was announcing and running, and it was just like, I just think the media just kept underestimating him. And that's why he got to where he got, you know. They were underestimating him while showing all of his speeches unedited, you know, all his campaign rallies.
You don't think it would drive you crazy being mayor of a city, or
I would love to be mayor of a city. Sounds
or
fun.
Running for Congress.
Oh, I'd love to run for Congress.
Winning for Congress.
Yeah, I'd love to be a congressman.
And knowing that everybody is stupid.
Yeah.
to know that these people can no longer think about North Korea.
Right.
Because I'm focusing on a football game. Because I don't want to brag. I can think about both.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but apparently people can't. And you think you wouldn't want to blow your brains out trying to get this world together.
I mean, it sounds like a hard job, but at least, you know, all we can do is try to do the right thing.
Right.
Yeah. And it starts at the local level. That's what I think. I think you guys should run for office here in Queens.
Hmm.
What do you think?
Will you be our campaign manager?
Yes.
No. Are you expensive?
Then no. Then okay. No. Okay. No.
Why are we going to question number two?
Eat more Rice Krispies.
A 40-minute documentary took 7 years to come out.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Keith, are you going to finish those or?
I mean, yeah, I'm gonna. I might as well, right?
Yeah, yeah, I think
you might
so.
As well keep going. You might as well share.
There you go, thank buddy.
No, oh, there we go.
There you go.
All right, I'll take a chance.
Here we go.
We're all gonna.
Yeah,
they're so tiny. I don't think anything's gonna happen.
That's, you know, famous last words. But okay.
Maybe my body knows that each one is tiny.
Oh, they taste like weed.
Yeah, I think it's a trick. I think they were powdered with weed on top.
Okay.
I don't like being tricked.
Mine's stuck in the bag.
I'm not pleased. Well, this is Steven Seagal. He lives in Russia now, this great American, and he's disgusted that people are taking these during the great national anthem.
I guess really what I'd like to say is this. I believe in free speech. I believe that everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but I don't agree that they should hold the United States of America or the world hostage by taking a venue where people are tuning in to watch a football game and, you know, imposing their political views. I think it's outrageous. I think it's a joke. It's disgusting.
He doesn't like it.
Wow.
They are taking me hostage.
It's so funny. Do they know what being taken hostage is like?
Steven Seagal does, because all his movies are about that. He's got to save those hostages. And you know, no one talks about the fact that like 4 days before the election last year, except Judah Friedlander did tweet about this a few months ago.
Credit where credit is due.
Steven Seagal defected and became a Russian citizen, shook hands with Vladimir Putin 4 days before the election. No one talks about the impact that had in the election. Steven Seagal from Russia, I think he swayed the election single-handedly. And now he's speaking out about issues like this. I mean,
American spy, the British spy, the Russian spy, we all spy on each other. Let's be honest. However,
who is this? Let's Steven be honest.
What do you mean?
Steven Seagal?
It's still Steven Seagal?
All spy on each other. Let's be honest. However, for anyone to think that Vladimir Putin had anything to do with fixing the elections or even that the Russians have that kind of technology is stupid.
That's stupid? Why, the Russians can't have that technology? That's a weird platform to stand on.
It's a giant, it might be too big of a conspiracy, you know, for the Russians to manage, I think, is what Steven Seagal is saying. Which is weird, because a lot of his movies are like full of the Russians doing, or some country doing that type of thing. That's exactly what they do in all your movies, Steven. What are we supposed to think?
That's so interesting to pretend to underestimate an entire country like that.
Especially when they just made you a citizen. It's almost like Vladimir Putin told him to say that, to go out there and say that. Also, fun fact, Steven Seagal was a sheriff. In like Louisiana.
Can you imagine you lived in that town?
Oh, that'd be so cool.
And that fatso's running around pretending he's here.
That's what I'm saying. Everyone's just got to start running for office.
Wait, was this the one? He was a sheriff and they had a crew show
about it. Yeah. That's right.
One more time.
British spy, the Russian spy. We all spy on each other. Let's be honest. However, for anyone to think that Vladimir Putin had
anything
to do with...
Well, he takes the time to say, look, I've defended the flag many times myself. He thinks these movies are real.
Yeah.
But here's his real hero.
Vladimir Putin.
Vladimir Putin.
He's got the pronunciation down.
Oh, yeah. Now, could you...
Don't disrespect.
Yeah.
Now, does this hurt you when you're running for a political campaign? But you take pictures of you doing ridiculous things to the American flag. For example, here's one where it's up your nose.
Hey, whoa, hold on. That is my comedy. That is Mindy Tucker. That is very good work.
Uh-huh.
She's incredible. And no, that is a very fun comedy, stand-up comedy headshot.
Right.
You're putting.
And what are you showing here?
I'm showing that I love my town, Bexley, and I love the American flag, and I also may have something in my notes. I need to get it out of there.
I see. It's controversial. You do know this is controversial, and it could hurt your chances.
It could hurt my future runs.
It could hurt Ben Kissel.
Oh, no. No, nothing can hurt Ben Kissel. He's so tall. He's just such a tall man. Okay. He's a tall man for the small man.
Do you hope that Ben fails so that you have something in common going, see, it's hard, isn't it, buddy?
Well, we already won our primary, the Reform Party primary.
Okay.
You know, New York's got bizarre rules where you can run with multiple political parties. So the Republicans were trying to primary Ben in the Reform Party primary with a write-in candidacy, meaning Ben was on the ballot with the Reform Party, and then the Republicans filed an OTB, an opportunity to ballot.
Off-track betting.
Something like that. There's multiple things it could mean. And so that means all of a sudden Ben had to run in the primary on September 12th.
Oh, they like pushed him to have to do that or
something? Yeah, because once you have the OTB, then it's like an automatic. They filed it before the deadline and everything. So it's like an automatic primary opponent. So it's Ben's name on the ballot and then a write-in spot. And we forged off the Republicans in that challenge. We won 80 to 20%. We won huge.
This is, you did the hands and everything.
Huge.
That's a big deal even for them to try to, what it seems like, sabotage.
Yeah.
Because it seems like, oh, wait, this guy has.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Because they're actually legitimately scared.
I mean, Ben has a huge chance.
Yeah.
Because he's very popular. His podcast has all.
Big millennial following, mm-hmm. You know? And that's kind of what we're going to be focused on with Ben's campaign is saving the L train, which, of course, a bunch of millennials live off of in Bushwick and Williamsburg. I mean, they're going to shut that down entirely in 2019 for like 2 years.
It's so hard to believe that they're actually going to go through with it.
I know.
It's just weird.
Like, what's going to happen to Brooklyn and Bushwick and all those little millennial kids? How are they going to get to their jobs?
What is he trying to run for? Sorry.
Brooklyn Borough President.
Okay, Borough President. If he becomes the Borough President,
yes.
Do you move here to keep helping him in his now presidential?
He's going to be president of Brooklyn, yeah. Oh, yeah, I would certainly, yeah. Although, you know, I...
You joke, there is a president of Brooklyn, though.
There is a president of Brooklyn, yeah. It's the borough president. But the borough presidency system, again, is an outdated throwback to the way things used to be in New York City. Before it was New York City, it was five different cities, and the borough presidents would get together and vote on behalf of the whole city. And once they got rid of that, they just kept the presidencies as literally just like a token figurehead, basically. You're almost like a public advocate for Brooklyn, but you're very limited in your power.
Now, so, when you run for Congress and you say, look, there's the Democrats,
yes.
One party.
Uh-huh.
There's the Republicans, the second party.
Yes.
We're going third party.
We're going third party, baby.
And you give the third finger.
Yes.
As almost it's the middle finger. Does Ben tell you not to do that anymore?
No, that commercial was a big hit, actually.
Yeah.
He is speaking about the third finger campaign,
mm-hmm.
where we went around and we're like,
give them the third finger.
Give the two-party system the third finger. That got on Anderson Cooper and it got on PBS NewsHour, and they called it one of the most clever ads of the 2010 campaign season.
Wow. So you're a big fan.
That shows you where this country is.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's the thing. Even though I lost both my campaigns, we had victories with our videos and getting attention. The jingle gets on Jay Leno. Third finger gets on PBS NewsHour. Jim Lehrer is losing his mind at how much he loves his third finger.
When you were running for mayor specifically, were your parents excited? Are they like, what are you doing? Little jokester, never
They're
enough.
Like, finally, he's cutting his hair.
That's my favorite scene. My mom's like, after I get the dreadlocks chopped off, I have like spiky hair.
Oh, they're still together, but I think you'll be okay.
Yeah, my mom's like,
you're almost handsome.
Yeah, she's like, you're not ruined forever. That's my boy. Yeah, she's a very sweet lady. No, I think they're excited that I was speaking out about the issue, you know, and because again, the neighbors had no representation in City Hall in 2007.
And your parents' home were in the line of fire.
We were right. We were on the border. I mean, the only big dorm that got done and properly zoned and everything was right next to the house where I grew up in.
But did they think, I think Keith is asking, did they think like, oh, you're just going to kind of ruin it because you're making a mockery of it. You're a jester. Now we're super going to get our house taken away.
Yeah. Well, there was a point where my dad was just like, once he saw specifically my yard sign with the peace sign and the little piece of dreadlock hair hanging off my silhouette there, he was like, oh, so you don't really want to win. He was like, this is more of a joke. And that was a moment that actually like sunk in for me. I was like, ah, shit, I don't want to disappoint my dad, you know?
Because he made you aware that you're running for conservative people.
Well, no, just that I was running on a real issue, you know? Mm-hmm. It was a real message that I had to get out to the rest of the city about the southwest corner of Bexley and what was happening there. And I think he just wanted me to take it a little more seriously, which I ended up doing.
Right. So not to jump ahead, but you didn't win, of course. And
right.
Your parents are dead. They took the house down with them inside
oh
them.
My God.
They don't even give a warning. These big
are you telling
businesses,
me my parents are dead right
your
now?
Your parents
I just saw
away,
them yesterday.
2x4 through the head this morning.
These
colleges are animals. They do not care about the family or
Capital
the little
University.
People. Anything for capitalism also.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you
sorry,
nailed it,
buddy.
Yeah.
So what happened? Do they get zoned out? Do they get bought up?
Well, no. It has a happy ending. Is that I became friends with the guy who did win by voicing about this issue of the Southwest Master Plan and how bad it was for that section of the town. And he put my mom and some other neighbors on zoning commissions, right? So all of a sudden we have a say in City Hall and the zoning and how it works. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years after I ran in 2007, 2009, a guy with a real job and mm-hmm. a house and a family who lived down the street, he ran for city council and he's still on city council. So, you know, that's kind of the nice thing.
Made it a major issue.
Yeah, this larky, you know, kid with dreadlocks, 24-year-old, living with his parents, actually, I did make a difference just by putting the message out there. So that's the idea of running at all. You know, I mean, even if you look at Bernie, he got a lot of issues out there that would not have been mm-hmm. discussed if he had never run at all. So
there you go.
Sometimes even by losing, you'll win in another way. And then if you make a movie about it, you'll win in another way. And then you lose some money because the company's bad. And then you win again because Amazon says, hey, get it out there again.
And $12 later, here we are.
Here we are, baby. I'll take another Rice Krispie, please.
Look, if you're running, here you go.
Oh, I don't need it.
If you're running,
it's really kicking in, bro.
Nobody needs it. Is it really? No way.
I don't know.
Right. Okay.
Let's do it. Come on.
I'm very tired from the Chinatown bus, so it might work.
Kendall wants it too much. That's okay. It's odd. She just made it weird. You know what it is? It's like if I'm Luke Skywalker and I was about to kill Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And then Darth Vader goes, do it. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing it, you fucking weirdo. I don't care how many planets you blew up. Something's odd with the way you're telling me this.
So reverse psychology works for you.
I guess so. That did sound deep.
I don't want one of those then.
Okay, buddy, you got it.
Oh, wait a minute.
No, if you're running, you have to clean up. You got to look a little clean cut, show that you care.
Don't make it too jokey. You know, you do want to be genuine to the people you want to represent and the issues you want to stand for.
And if you still, you know, if the thing is a little funny, go to the next town over and do comedy, right? And apparently no one talks to each other.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Is it upsetting that nobody knows, like, you're not worried about word getting back to the town over? It's like, you know, you don't like, isn't that bad news?
I mean, I don't know. The next town over is Whitehall from Bexley. And that place is so full of terrible people. Like, I actually used to joke with the stand-up that if I became mayor of Bexley, I was going to bomb Whitehall. But you drive through Whitehall, it's like, oh, it's already been bombed. This place is terrible. And that joke kills in Columbus, Ohio, by the way.
Right. But not in these debates.
Not in Whitehall. No, not in the debates. No. Okay. No, only in the... Yeah, the documentary shows both sides. You got the stand-up comedy side, which was, you know, kind of my release at night after running for mayor all day. It was a tough job. You're going door to door. And then at night, I would go to these open mics and do jokes about it. So
with your door-to-door thing, was there like the rudest person?
With the dreadlocks, it was a nightmare. With the dreadlocks, it was, you know, just door after door being slammed in my face, just like little old ladies being like, I don't know you, and then shut the door in my face. It was
Was anyone rude? Did anyone get their gun?
No guns. But they were rude, certainly. Yeah, no one was taking me seriously with the dreadlocks.
So. And as soon as you cut it off, people left their door open?
Then you're actually talking to people, giving out flyers. Again, a lot of mansions. I think there's a scene in the movie where I'm at a mansion, and all I can do is like call in on the call box, and the guy doesn't even live there, and you know, it's kind of a nightmare. But, you know, that's the thing about going door to door. It's like you're trespassing, but it's in the name of democracy. So
what do you think about regarding how stupid people are? It does seem to excite people when you kiss their babies.
Yeah.
They love it.
They love it.
What if you made a campaign video and you had the main competition, a lookalike, going around kissing babies, but he eats them?
Oh, Lord.
And then you go, and then you have a citizen going, oh, Lord.
Oh, my baby.
And then it shows you kissing and you just normal kiss them on the cheek.
We had an ad for Congress that where we had two babies and I just kept kissing babies. And like, and then we would pass into one person and then the baby would go under the camera. And then we just had a rotating baby kissing. And I was just kept smooching the same baby. We tried to put different hats on them, but then it was just like, it was too hard. It was just the same baby over and over. So we did have that.
Okay.
And then we also had
it work?
That one got on local TV. Yeah. Like local TV loved that one. Like they put it on one of the morning talk shows in Columbus, Ohio. And then, but we also had one where we featured my Republican opponent running for Congress, where he talks about how he loves raising his own salary in Congress because they always vote for that.
Right.
So we finished that video with him eating money and he just starts eating money.
Okay.
And then I come in, I'm like, hey, fat cat T-Berry, that's the taxpayer's money. Give me that.
And then you hold up the money and the peace sign because you're.
Pick it out of the trash.
Yeah. Right.
I reach into his throat and I pull it out.
Can you do that? You can do a parody of somebody else.
Oh yeah. Honestly, again, you know, the Congress campaign in 2010, our videos were the best thing. We had a video making fun of the Republican where he eats money, and we had a video making fun of the Democrat lady because she didn't live in the district, and the term for that is carpetbagger. Mm. So we did a video.
So you put her on the Chinatown bus stealing drugs.
Man, that would have been good. No, we just had her. It was like an old-timey carpet commercial, and she was bagging carpet. And she was like, I just love bagging carpet. And so what was fun about that was the Republicans came to us, and they're like, boy, we love that carpet bagging ad about Paula Brooks. And then the Democrats would come to us and be like, boy, we love that fat cat T-Berry ad where he's at eating money, you know. So we had some for everybody.
Right, that's nice.
Yeah.
Because you're the third party, fuck you.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you got nothing to lose except the election, which you will all ready lose.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there what platform does your buddy Ben, what's he running under? What party?
Reform Party. Yeah. Okay. So Reform Party's had a history, you know, they've got Ross Perot in 96, Jesse Ventura in 98, Pat Buchanan in 2000, Donald Trump briefly in 2000. But you know, now it's much more local. So we're just about things that the Republicans and Democrats are not talking about, like the L train, criminal justice reform, legalization of weed, cutting the budget. Ben will take a pay cut. The Brooklyn borough president has 3 chauffeurs. Ben will take the bus. He will take the train. He will take Ubers. He's a man of the people. Tall man for the small man. If you check out the jingle, I wrote the words to the jingle, and I love that line.
Tall man for the small man.
Oh my God, find it. You know, if I can leave anyone with anything, get a jingle for your campaign. And if you need someone to write a jingle, hit me up because I love writing jingles.
I think you're right. I think
you could have fun with it. You know,
yeah. You came out of nowhere and you got press and it sounds like good advice.
Our videos were the saving grace of all our campaigns, I would say.
Are you editing them or?
I edit the videos. I'm not a musician, so we always hire musicians to do them. But I help write the lyrics, and then you know you got to make it a punchy 30 seconds. So were you able to find the Kissel?
No, but it wasn't taken by Jay Leno and made it a big deal.
Thank goodness. Okay.
But people will find it and they'll contact you. They can rate your Twitter and you'll set them straight, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I want more millennials to run. I really do. And it starts at the local level. And if you do a good job there, then you're eligible to go for state rep or assemblyman or whatever. And then you just keep going from there. We need more good, honest people out there in this political game.
All right. Let me tell you something about good, honest people.
Okay.
By the way.
Oh, Lord.
Leads right to this. If you want to, you know, you got to go out there. You got to present yourself well. We have to shave, don't we, gentlemen? And ladies, quite frankly. You know,
I did it this morning. I'm having a great show.
I've never been with a woman that hasn't stolen my razor. So they need the razors, too. Okay, it's absolutely true. Everybody knows it. So get two. But I don't want to pay $6 million. I don't want to be in a store and beg to open the theft-proof thing. I'm an adult. I don't want to have to. I don't want to have to. Well, now you don't have to. I'm talking about Harry's razors. That's how I get my razor blades, and you should too.
Can you just bring it to me, though?
Yes, I'll send it to your house. They're so confident you'll love their blades. They'll give you their trial shave set for free. You sign up at harrys.com/KTG and you just pay for shipping. That's it. 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. Actually, 1.5. the women stole the razor. Okay. But it's 3 million people nonetheless. All right. Claim your free trial offer from Harry's today. $13 value, which seems low to me. But anyway, it's free when you sign up. Just cover shipping. Your free trial set includes a weighted ergonomic handle. Now, look, I'm not a scientist. We didn't go to school, right?
Right, we didn't.
But I'll tell you what we do know. Quality. Mm-hmm. And this has it. Mm-hmm. It's a handle and it's good.
You're getting better at saying that word.
It's a handle?
Ergonomic.
Oh.
5%
And handle. Yeah, he struggles.
5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, a travel blade cover. Go get your free trial. Go to harrys.com/KATG right now. harrys.com/KATG. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a great deal.
All right. What is the biggest lesson, before we leave people, that you learned by being on the campaign trail as both a mayoral candidate and a congressman candidate? What did we learn?
I would say speak your truth. Stand up for the people you want to represent. Stand for the issues you want to represent, especially if no one else is standing for those issues. And do it in a way that you feel you can be proud of.
Okay.
If you're a quirky goofball, you got to do it that way.
Okay. And you believe that you did those things?
I believe I did.
And absolutely. You got 210 votes.
201. 200 other people besides myself were like, sure, why the hell not?
Right. So maybe not follow those rules and don't be yourself.
Oof. I mean, I think you got to be yourself. Okay. Too many of these politicians are fake, and then look what happens. They get elected and they win and they become rich and powerful. It sounds terrible.
Right.
Yeah. They also become scumbags and they don't get anything done and they screw over a lot of people. There's a lot of lives ruined by a lot of bad policies that have been in place for decades.
How do we know if politicians are in it for our best interest?
They cut their hair for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. Yeah. No, I think... in 2008, after I ran for mayor, I interned with Chuck Schumer on Capitol Hill, and he would call me mayor, and I would get his grapefruit and cottage cheese in the morning, and it was very fun. I would always forget the sweet and low, and he'd yell at his assistant, and it was that part was a disaster. But
never mind, you can just keep a bunch at your desk.
Yeah, I know. Just keep it. Anyway, it's a Brooklyn company. He's very supportive.
You were young. How old were you?
I was still 24.
Okay, so you were young.
I was still a young guy.
Keep a bunch of sweet and low. Who's going to teach you that?
Plus, you saved him the cancer.
I did. Mm-hmm. I did what I could. Mm-hmm. But he had a great way of pointing out, he was like, in the Senate, you can tell the real deals from the fakers. Someone like Bernie is a real deal, right? He's in there to stand for issues that no one else is talking about.
How can you tell?
Because he'll keep putting bills out there that will he's trying to criminal justice reform and legalization of marijuana. And, now he's fighting for the health care for everybody.
So based on action is what you're saying.
Based on action. Absolutely. And then there's some people who are just shills for some industry. You can look at people from Oklahoma, where they're fighting for the oil industry that is in Oklahoma, things like that, But then you got like Elizabeth Warren, who's fighting to reform the banking industry and Wall Street. So I think that's how you can tell if a politician's in it for themselves or if they're in it for the right reasons.
If they're old.
If they're an old person talking about stuff, you know that they're probably a politician.
Travis's Twitter account is Travis Irvine, USA.
I've got the same Twitter strategy as Sarah Palin and Jim Webb.
Okay.
I'm very proud of that.
What's that strategy?
The USA.
Okay.
Also, all the other Travis Irvines are Canadian.
Oh, wow. As I found out. Interesting.
Yeah. So.
Does it make you feel like maybe you're adopted?
Oh, man. I hope so. I'm going to Canada, people. I'm running for mayor of Canada. We got to solve this drug problem and get more drugs in there.
Like, no, but that could be true. Do you know what I mean? That's how fun you are.
Yeah.
It could be true. Who the fuck knows?
Who knows? I'll see you guys in Canada next year.
Yeah. American Mayor, you can get it from Amazon. He gets the money now. So if you didn't support him earlier, that's actually better.
Yeah. We're up to $13 now.
Ooh. On
Amazon. Yeah.
His comedy album is Guy from Ohio. Hear all about it. He was robbed at gunpoint. I have a copy. That's one less sale for you, but thank you. I do appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you. And that's that, okay?
All right. Thank you, guys.
I'm going to go and knock it high now.
If you like this show, please spread the word. We really appreciate it. KeithandTheGirl.com.